Steins, our national and presidential expert, noted author. Find his books at Next Chapter Books, totallyiowa.com. The Iowa Business Report is his weekly show down there. He joins us from KXEL in Cedar Falls, Waterloo, where we get the Iowa Politics Report. Jeff, did you hear any of Danielle Stella, the GOP candidate for their ticket for the Minnesota 5 District, Ilhan Omar seat?
I did not, because I could hear you introduce it, but that wasn't being piped down the line. But I love the concept of T-shirts that say Zoomer. I love that.
Zoomer.
That's tremendous.
Am I missing? I don't know what Zoomer is.
Zoomer? Is it someone who connects via Zoom? I don't get this. What is that?
I think she was. I think she got Zoom and Boomers mixed up.
I've done three Zoom segments today, and I'm barely a baby boomer. I'm not proud of that, but I mean, I'm barely in the category, so that's me. A baby boomer who uses Zoom is a Zoomer. Okay, now we know.
Well, and as Danielle Stella will tell you, I'm Generation J. I have no...
Here, hold my beer.
There you go. I've got to start... Let's start with liability, because I know this is something that is going to affect Iowa quite a bit. They're currently, the Congress is contemplating two new bills. One's an expansion of the business loan program. The other one is an expansion of unemployment benefits as well as one-time payments to individuals, as well as also a moratorium on evictions to continue on for a while. And what Mitch McConnell has said is that he will not approve the additional aid for the unemployed and the payments as well as the moratorium unless there is a liability waiver for corporations that force their employees to work during the coronavirus. Obviously, this is geared towards the meat industry because, as you and I have talked quite a bit, a lot of the meat industry clearly knew that this was a problem, but yet set people in to work without putting in the proper safety requirements in place. They got their employees sick. They've got the families of their employees sick. They got their communities sick. We've seen it in small towns over across the Midwest. My feeling is this, is that if the Democrats challenge him on this, the Republicans really have no way. They have to kind of forego that, because I don't think they can take the risk of going into the election cycle and not having done anything to help the American people for a second time.
It becomes a moot point because of the fact that so many states, and you mentioned mine of Iowa, we've already got it in place. In other words, states have independently, to a large degree, put some of these things in place. Those that have not, because their legislature wasn't meeting, will no doubt do it at the beginning of the year when people come back. So it becomes a fight to some degree without a real point. Now, I understand if I'm Tyson, for example, and I have however many plants in however many states, I want the protection of the federal law. But there's quite a difference, and you're seeing this, by the way, in this additional unemployment benefit thing. So put that over here for a second. The problem with national regulations and rules is that they are overly generous in some respects, under generous in others, and they don't fit every situation. I like states' rights. Let the state determine. And if these big companies don't like it, then too bad. Because here's the thing about the employer liability. All right, it has to do with going forward. It doesn't have to do with retroactive. All right, so if they were violating OSHA, if they were violating CDC guidelines, they're still on the hook, as they should be. And it's not just big employers. It's Matt McNeil's retail store, you know, where you have your kids working day and night just to, you know, so you can have the lifestyle that you enjoy.
Thongs or us.
That's it. So the concept is that this is to protect businesses from a patron coming in saying, oh, I caught COVID at McNeil's store, or of one of McNeil's employees saying they got it. Now, the reason that I, even as a lawyer, don't like these rules is that you can still win the lawsuit, right? I mean, so let's say that you don't have this insulation, this waiver of liability. People can sue, you can win, because who's going to be able to very closely prove that a patron got COVID-19 at your place of business? It's very hard to do. Now, granted, I know those lawsuits cost money and all of that.
Well, but
I'm afraid of abuse. if they have blanket liability.
Let's go back to smoking, though. Remember that? That was the whole argument about smoking, is that how could these employees of the diner where smokers were at and they had to go work the smoking section, or there was no smoking section when this started, how could they viably come back and say it's their fault? Now, granted, what you did there was the culpability was on the cigarette companies. But the cigarette companies were reckless, and they said, up until the very end, cigarettes were healthy. There's no problem with cigarettes. And that's the problem, is when you have, whether it's a large corporation or, Phil's bar out in the middle of some small town, he's like, you don't have to wear a mask to come on in here, get your drink on, and show those liberals who's boss. Well, then all of a sudden, five of their people get sick. That's what I think what we're looking at is that this is, it's two things. It's one, it's that Republican idea of never ask for permission, ask for forgiveness to an extreme. And on the other side of it, it's a, we've been pushing these false narratives. Let's make sure there's legal protections for people that actually followed our reckless advice.
And with your example of the bar, there is ample evidence out there that people who go to bars often wind up contracting it, because by virtue of the fact that you start drinking alcohol, your inhibitions are reduced. You don't wear the mask. You don't do the social distance, whatever it is. So if I'm defending the bar owner, I'd say, well, look, you're stupid enough to come into a bar, then you get what you deserve. Now, I'm not saying that's a great argument. My point is, I don't like this blanket rule, because to your point, the bar will say, come on in, because they know they aren't going to get sued unless it's egregious, unless it's violating rules. The big companies could say, sure, come on back. We'll make you come back to work, because they know they're not going to get sued. And if the bigger companies to me are the problem, because they're the ones who are going to do the absolute minimum. So if you have this liability insulation so that they can't be sued, they're going to do the bare minimum.
And so
that's the problem. You're going to encourage them, Matt, to do a little more than the minimum if they run the risk of a lawsuit. And again, the regulations are not that stringent from CDC and OSHA, and the meat industry just flaunted them all along. And should they, in one respect, and I'm blurring the issue with this next comment, should they be rewarded for their past proven bad behavior by being told, okay, going forward, we're not going to hold you responsible? I just don't like that. I just don't think that that's what the jurisprudential system had in mind, when we established that system. I don't think that's what folks had in mind.
And McConnell is actually looking at retroactive liability waivers. And the problem is, there are plenty of small towns in Iowa where there hasn't been that big of a problem. I mean, let's be honest. Right. I mean, there's plenty of small towns. But in Minnesota as well, there are plenty of small towns. I mean, I think Lake of the Woods County has only had one case. It's on the very northern part of the state. I mean, there are places where there's not meat processing plants, where small towns have not been, crippled by this. And then you have every one of these towns, it seems, that wears a meat processing plant. And it's not just the employees, it's the employees' families. And there are people who have died, and they have people in the community, and there are people in there that have died, where there's this massive explosion. And they're just, the idea that we should let these people off the hook, for especially if they were being told you've got to put up safety precautions, and it took them 2 months and 600 sick employees for them to finally say, okay, let's do the bare minimum. Yeah. Well, I don't think that that's a viable option.
I'm not comfortable with it at all. I believe and I think I've been consistent with this. There have been some public officials, local, state, federal, who have made huge mistakes during this, but I'm not going to hold them, hang them out to dry, if they did it based upon the best information they had at the time, with the best of intentions, and it just turned out to be wrong. I'm okay with them acting with what they had at the time. But the distinction is, with these industries, they knew better. They literally had sick employees at one plant that closed. So what did they do? They closed because there were too many sick employees. They bust them to another plant and spread the infection. That's not an oops, I made a mistake based upon just an incorrect judgment. That is clearly taking advantage of workers who, by definition, because of the industry, don't have a way to take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. I don't want those people to be rewarded. Now, if you say we want to protect business because we want businesses to open and we don't want good retail businesses, let's say, or McNeil Sweatshop or whatever, we want them to open back up again, then do something like payroll tax holiday for a limited period of time, but not this kind of blanket waiver of liability.
The whole check thing, I think the increased unemployment benefit, that was good. And as a matter of fact, I think that's kind of one of the reasons why the economy hasn't really cavitated completely, is that in the sad state of America that we're in, a lot of people saying, yeah, it was the best I've been paid in years. And they were saying that. But
which is another problem.
Exactly.
Is it not?
Exactly. But then on top of the checks, I mean, I think it's nice. But I mean, the entire point of everything here comes to a point of we're trying to get you to buy stuff. And right now, I think that the idea is to hunker down. And it's going to be fascinating how this country is going to go here in the next 2 months, because with schools reopening and the insistence by some people that we have to sacrifice a few kids for the greater good, whatever they're talking about there. I mean, I think that if things really start getting out of control here and we start seeing, you know, worse and worse and worse numbers, especially within teachers, within schools, I think we are going to have to see some sort of major shutdown of this country for an extended period just to get us through this.
This is the problem we have right now. This is happening during a major election year when we have a society that is as divided as it has been in 50 years, easily, okay? We can't, any of us, take a breath and actually have a conversation. Like, for example, let's just take the school issue. If a state official said the presumption should be full-time in-person status, you're going to have people who immediately go ballistic about killing kids. And all my statement was the presumption is you should be in school in-person full-time. Now, if in fact that's not warranted in a certain region, it's not warranted in a certain district, then get the approval from the state for a waiver from the norm. That's not a big deal, but nobody will actually sit and have this conversation. The unemployment benefits issue. Nobody is cutting unemployment benefits if nothing is done by the end of this week. Unemployment benefits are by the state. Your state unemployment benefits don't change. What changes is whether or not you get a bonus from the federal government that if it is extended out at current levels for a full 52-week year will be $31,000 plus bonus in addition to the unemployment benefits. So if you want to have a conversation about whether we should keep giving that bonus or whether it should be $200 or whether it should be tied to a percentage of someone's pay that they had before they were unemployed, which again is drastically different across the country, let's have the conversation. But instead we have one side talking about freeloaders and the other side talking about cutting things, because and this is one of the things that people may not know, and I'll try to be as brief as possible. We have a presidential library in the state of Iowa. It's in West Branch. Herbert Hoover, the only native-born president from Iowa, there's a presidential library there. The director of the Herbert Hoover Presidential Library, and it's in a very small town, West Branch, just east of Iowa City. They get paid the absolute same money as the people who run the FDR Library, the JFK Library, and both of those are in larger states with higher costs of living, the Reagan Library, all of these other places. They get the same pay. Why? Because it's a federal job classification, and they want to be fair, so everybody gets the same pay. You get merit raises based upon longevity. Well, that, however many, you know, it's $150,000, $180,000, whatever it is, I can tell you that goes a lot further in West Branch, Iowa, than it does in Simi Valley, California. And so when you say $600 to every unemployed person, that means a lot more to people in the Midwest than it does on the coasts. But is it fair for somebody in the Midwest to get less? No, it's not fair. But let's have a conversation about percentages, perhaps.
If I can say here's the other side of that, though. Yeah. Both Republicans and Democrats in that Congress know that state unemployment benefits are not nearly enough to offset people being out of work. They know this, that people will go hungry, that people will be evicted. And Republicans are looking at it far more from the economic standards. You know, Democrats more look at it more from the societal standards. But the reality is they both, I mean, the reason why even Republicans are on board with this is there's this undeniable element that we do not have a safety net system in place that if someone becomes unemployed, that they can sustain themselves. And that's the larger issue. Going back to the other problem with the schools, the problem that I have is that Israel, I'll give you Israel. Israel had pretty much coronavirus under control. They opened the schools and it skyrocketed again. And it's kind of one of those things where we do have test cases we can look at. It just is like all the time in America, we refuse to look at countries that have done it either correctly or done it poorly and be able to say, well, maybe we should do it more like the guys that did it correctly than the guys that did it poorly. We have a tendency of saying, we're just going to do it and let's just hope for the best. And I think that is the most insane standard, especially when we have evidence that says opening the schools is not a good idea.
Well, and again, who says it should be the same in your state as in my state? Who says it should be the same in a city of 100,000 in my state as one with 1,000? Mm-hmm. I guess this idea of one size fits all, I'm just not terribly comfortable with. Why can't we be rational enough to judge situations on their specific merits and go from there?
Because pandemics don't see different sizes states. They're pandemics. I don't mean to be blunt about that, but that's the truth.
Well, but I'm talking about local control as opposed to blind one size fits all. And so, again, you can tell me about Israel. That's fine. I'm concerned about what I know in my area. And so that's why this nationalization of everything in a country this size geographically and population wise, you just got to be smarter. Pay attention to these things and deal with them based upon the facts you have with the given situation.
But you have to look at it like a hurricane, only it's hitting the entire country at the same time. It's not looking at poor or white. It's not looking at Republican or Democrat. It's wiping out everybody. And if we don't have a more unified approach to it, we end up having what happened with George W. Bush in New Orleans after Katrina, where Alabama, Mississippi, they got taken care of. But because those people that didn't vote for me in New Orleans, they got punished. And still today, they haven't really recovered some of those areas.
It's political. Yeah, you're way behind on the break. It's political and it shouldn't be.
Let's take a quick break, come back, talk about Trump's comments today. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Apparently, Trump just called it Minneapolis again. It is Jeff Stein joining us right now. He'll eventually get that. I'm Minneapolis, FYI.
Don't you have the Minneapolis 500 race there, too?
Exactly. There's an interesting article that made the point Trump is not doing what he needs to do to expand his base. He is, as a matter of fact, he's contracting his base by getting more and more racist. The comments he made about suburban America today, where he basically said, we're going to save you from those people coming on in. And then the comment about Booker, my goodness. I mean, he really does seem to be going down. I'm just trying to appeal to the most racist people, and that's going to be my base. And if I lose with them, I lose with them.
And the problem is that it's going to turn off in increasing ways. I mean, this is going to be a nasty campaign at all levels, on all sides, at all, whether it's national or local. And I think it's going to turn off an awful lot of people who really need to pay attention. And that's not good. And that's the problem with it. Yeah, I mean, when each side, to some degree, I think, is waiting for the other side to lose its own base, well, that's not helpful. That's not proactive. And that's not aspirational, which is what I grew up thinking campaigns were. But right now it's maybe it's the Trump tone that then permeates everything in the room. I don't know.
Well, that's where he's getting the most love, right? Let's be honest. I mean, that's where the people who are the most blind followers of him, he validates them. But the problem is that it is going to be interesting to see. I still think all the Trump voters are going to vote for him. I still do. But I wonder how many people are going to say, yeah, but if I vote for him, I'm voting for the guy who's basically clearly the racist.
I don't think they care at the ads that they're running now that you're going to die in Joe Biden's America. What's that do?
Well, I love the fact that in those ads, the scenes they show to show the chaos are all from Trump's administration. So that's it. There is. It's just crazy. This is just a crazy freaking world right now. Jeff Stein, once again, Next Chapter Books, totallyiowa.com. We'll spotlight this one. We will be back tomorrow. Have a good one. Till tomorrow. See ya.